Welcome to the Star Wars Collector Podcast. I am your host, Brian, and with me as always is my co-hosts, Carl and Dwayne. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hello, gentlemen.
And today we have a special guest. We have David White with us. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Glad to have you, David.
As always, we start out our podcast when we have a guest. We always allow them to go first and talk about what you've gotten lately. So we'll hand it over to you, David. What have you gotten lately?
Well, this week, not a whole lot, but I did pick up two things. One, as I heard that the Micro Galaxies U-Wing Fighter was on clearance at Target, and sure enough, after work, at my local Target, I found one. So I picked that up. That's pretty cool. Going to add that to the collection. And the second purchase is this past weekend, a buddy of mine who owns a toy store in Elmhurst, Illinois, by the name of Charlie Reepsman, Crush Collectibles, if you're ever there. He had his, what he calls his garage and rummage sale days, where he's got stuff that he can't move and he just puts it out there for low prices. My son and I love customizing action figures, particularly Star Wars, anything in the 3 3/4 inch or 6 inch scale. So we ended up picking up a lot of cool stuff.
Okay. So what all did you get there then?
Well, I'll tell you, we'll make a list of like who's unpopular at the toy stores. We've got, here at Imway, we got about 3 or 4 him, so we're going to use him as custom fodder. And then we've got the Emperor's Royal Guard, which I was pleasantly surprised to pick up those for $7 a piece in the box. I think we got 4 or 5 of those. And we got a lot of DC and Marvel superheroes that we can also use for customizing. I hadn't seen it in the store myself, but there was like a bare-chested Superman. He kind of looked like more like Aquaman than Superman. But I thought, yeah, I could probably use that for some sort of a custom figure. So, you know, the other thing, too, is surprised me is I don't know how it got into the mix, but Charlie was fine with it. But the, you know how Walmart is getting the new book of Boba Fett, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank. You know, the Marshall enforcing the
Cobb
law.
Cobb Vanth.
Tatooine. Yeah, Cobb Vanth. Yeah, thanks for helping me out. He had 2 of those, and he had them at $10. They were, you know, they were dented cards. And I said, are you sure about this? I think they retail for $25 at Walmart, don't they?
Yeah.
And, so, you know, quote-unquote, deluxe, right? There's a little debate about that. And he says, oh, no, these are dinged up, so $10 is right. So I said, great, I'll take both of them. So that was a pretty cool pickup. Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Let's see. I got a Jabba Sail Barge. I ended up finding one at a shop in Barbersville.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. But it wasn't nearly as much as what people were asking for them online. I was shocked. I got it for a really good deal, you know, for waiting so long to get it. And so I got that. Now I'm trying to scramble to find figures to fill it with, because I've got most of mine are all carded. You know, I don't have any loose ones, so I've been trying to scramble to find some loose ones, which I did have a few loose ones too. So I'll have that. Plus, I got a couple of guys that's in our club who's helping me out with a bunch of loose figures.
Well, you're in luck, because it's a lot better to be searching for those figures. It's sort of like you're off season, because if you're looking for Cantina figures like I'm looking for my future HasLab, mm-hmm. everyone's, so the prices has gone up. Yeah. So I think you have good timing looking for the Jabba henchmen.
Oh yeah. Also, I got the I got these clone troopers. Got them on Amazon. They were having a sale on them, so I ended up getting this 4-pack of Phase 2 clone troopers. It's looks like a Ahsoka's clone troopers. At least the one of them does.
Yeah. Yeah, they have 2 Phase 2 4-packs. One of them, I believe, are all white.
Yeah, I think
armor.
So.
And then that pack has the custom Ahsoka helmet and the 501st helmet, the blue stripe. Is that a 501st precursor?
Also, I got the 4-pack finally from Amazon that had Ahsoka, R7A7, CH33P, and RGG1. I got that 4-pack. I don't know where I put it. I don't have it around me right here. I'd show it to those on here. Also, got the Vintage Collection Osa Anasaya, the HK-87 Assassin Droid, the Dark Trooper. Also picked up CD set, the original trilogy soundtrack anthology.
Oh, yeah, I've got one of those.
I picked it up for $5. Yeah, I got it at Trade Days up there at Lucasville. Found that pretty cheap. Got I have an R2 cassette player. Found this. Got this at a antique shop or something down in Portsmouth, Ohio. I got it for $5.
Did you figure out if it's going to work?
Yeah, I put batteries in it, and it does work.
Wow.
So, got lucky with that one.
It's ancient archaeology right there.
Yeah, it's like 95, I think. Also picked
put one
up...
of your Wham cassettes in it.
Yeah. Also picked up a Return of the Jedi vinyl case. I didn't have one of these. I finally got one.
Nice.
It's got the...
in good condition.
Yeah, the snap. Yeah. It's pretty good condition. And, didn't have to pay a whole lot for that compared to what some of them are going for.
Well, there's two different versions of that, aren't
there? Where'd you get the case
at? There's just one. I got it on eBay, of all places. No, there's only one version of Return of the Jedi case. There's two of Empire.
Empire, okay.
Yeah, Empire has the one with the big Yoda head on it, and then also has the A New Hope version of the same picture of that's on the A New Hope vinyl case.
Okay.
And the insert varies. You've got that Kit Bash Boba Fett, which is very popular, as opposed to the standard Boba Fett.
Yeah, unfortunately, this one did not come with the insert, so I'll have to find one of those later, because most of them don't anymore. They're all gone.
kids didn't...
Go ahead. What was you going to say?
Oh, kids didn't really keep those.
Oh, no. I kept mine when I was a kid, but then again, I kept a lot of the stuff that people lost. I mean, as you can see, the Millennium Falcon right here above my head, I had it complete from when I was a kid. Even the ball, I had everything. And the only reason I did was because I taped everything down because it wouldn't stay. So I just used Scotch tape and taped it all down, like the trap door, you know, the floor and all that. Taped everything down so it wouldn't move. Picked up a Woof Vintage Collection figure loose. I got that for just a few bucks. Got a couple of vintage Bib Fortunas, complete with staffs.
Stephanie's happy about that since that's her favorite character.
Yeah, I've become a focus collector on Bib Fortunas because of her. I got a vintage Weequay. Also got the Blurg and Mandalorian, as you can see here. Picked up another TC-14 figure. I bought some Kyber Crystals from Shop Disney and needed something cheap to get free shipping. Otherwise, it was going to cost me more than the actual figure would cost. So yeah. I was just like, I'll throw it on there. I'll sell it somewhere for $5 or something, or just open it. Who knows? And that's all I got. Carl, what'd you get?
Like you, I got the Blurg, and I've already took him out of his box for for our Patreon members. He turned out really well, I think.
Yeah, I kind of hope they release more of them, like one with Queel.
Yes, definitely.
IG-11 would be a nice one. Ewoks.
I've heard that Blurg is in the back of the Razor Crest. What do you think, since now you have it in hand? Does it look like it might fit?
Neither me or Carl have one, but Dwayne does. I don't know. He'd have to test it out.
Yeah.
Now,
we need to get together.
If anybody out there listening has tested that out yet, please reply back in our comments and let us know.
But it's got really good articulation and stuff, so it's pretty nifty. It was high on my list of wants.
Yeah, I opened mine. I just haven't pulled it out yet. I looked at it. Looked at the carded figure, too, of the Mandalorian. Yeah. And I hear it's got, like, hips that spread apart farther so that he can actually fit on it.
Yeah.
Like ball joint hips, maybe, or something like that.
Also picked up Mei and Osa, like you, the other of you all have, and Jedi Master Soul as well. I don't have them here laying with me to show.
Where'd you get him at? Because I haven't got him yet.
Amazon.
Okay. I ordered mine from Hasbro Pulse, and I haven't got my Soul yet.
Is he tough to get?
I don't think so. It's just they haven't shipped them yet. That's just like Cobb Vanth. They haven't shipped Cobb Vanth yet either, even though Walmart's got them already.
Yeah, Amazon hasn't. It's weird because Amazon hasn't shipped the Cobb van either yet.
I'll go get my Cobb. I'll put him on the camera.
Okay. Dwayne, what'd you get?
Well, I got caught up on all of my the Vintage Collection pre-orders that were shipping this month, pretty much. Also, the Blurg and Mandalorian Beast Pack. I got the OSHA, the May, the HK-87, the Jedi Master Saul, and the Dark Trooper. And also realized I had missed out on ordering back a few months ago on the Phase 1 Clone Trooper on the Vintage Collection card back, so I picked one of those up also.
Okay.
It was in stock finally, I guess. I think they were out of stock when I first was trying to order them. Arm Troop Builders, buying up all them Phase 1 Clone Troopers. But, so yeah, that's all I got. I didn't have anything extra outside of just some action figures this month.
Yeah, hold that figure back up there, and we'll take a look at it there. Yeah, you see you got a helmet, a gun.
They're calling this Deluxe. It's a very wide card.
A big blaster rifle.
As you can see, they could probably fit all that behind him.
His jetpack.
On the standard card, but, you know, they have to make their money. So Hasbro's got their business model, so I'm not going to fault them.
Yeah, that...
It does look like a good figure.
Yeah, what is wrong with it, Ben? I don't see anything on the camera, you know, of course.
Yeah, so look, this is not in bad shape at all. He said this was a beater one. This was the better of the two.
I'd like to see those coming from Amazon as beater.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, since I have two of them, I'll open the other one in case you get a beater one. I'll trade you and send you this one.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, I saw there's a guy on Facebook. He had done a custom version, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Hasbro one looked better. And the reason why is, I guess, Hasbro is really good at the faces.
Oh, yeah, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a number of people that 3D print, you know, and sell these. And some people are good at painting. But I can paint, but I can't paint that good. So when you see it up close, you're like, yeah, there's no way with my painting skills I could match that. So I'm definitely going to give Hasbro their money and their credit for making that figure.
Okay, nice.
The one fault that I agree with on some people that have reviewed it is, the idea of the removable armor. Of course, that was a central storyline, you know, component to him taking it off and giving it back to Boba Fett. But the gauntlets are not removable on his arms. So when you do take, you know, the breastplate off, and of course the helmet and all that, the backpack, he still has those gauntlets on his arms. So.
Yeah, and that's why I'm happy to have picked up two of them, because, again, customizers online, we talked to each other, and one guy said what he did is he used a rose from his custom fodder bucket and used her lower arms and just basically swapped them out, like popped the hands out, popped the lower arms out, painted Rose's, you know, yellow jumpsuit arms. And then, you know, heated them, popped them up, popped them back in, and it actually looks good.
Sure.
It's like, so I'll probably do the same thing. So I'll get a Cobb van with armor and without. So not bad for $10 a piece, supporting a local toy store in the Chicago suburbs.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder what he paid for these.
Yeah, I know.
maybe he's just getting his money back. Maybe it's $10.
Yeah.
All right, so... We'll move on to our meeting news. Our local club meet on October the 12th. Unfortunately, I will not be there. I will be out of town.
Actually, we decided not to have the meeting.
Oh, okay. I figured that's what you might have. But yeah. I meant to put the Fall Festival on here, too. The Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club's Fall Festival will be on October the 12th from, noon to 5? Something like that?
5-ish. Usually it's over between 4 and 5.
And it's going to be just on the other side of the river from Louisville. It'll be in Indiana. I don't remember the actual place, but it's on our Facebook page, on the club's Facebook page, and the group also.
Yeah. And it is open to the public, so if you're just listening for the first time or have been a frequent listener and want to come and see what the club's all about, you can come on in. If you decide you want to join the club, $10. Our membership fees haven't gone up in, 20 years?
Ever, I think. That I know
We've always just asked for $10. And all that is to kind of cover the cost of some of the food and the facility charges and some of our upkeep on our club business expenses. So, but they get you membership in the club and some free swag from time to time throughout the year, like patches or buttons or stuff like that. So come and join us if you're in the Louisville, Indiana, or Louisville, southeastern Indiana,
Ohio area,
western Kentucky. Come on and get with us on October 12th and have a good time.
Yep. And now we'll move on to toy announcements. Carl, you want to take the vintage collection there?
Okay. We have vintage collection. We have Ahsoka Anakin coming. We have Ahsoka clone lieutenant, Acolyte Jedi Master Endora. I think that's how you say her name, Endora.
Endara,
okay. Andor Deidre Moreau, which I'm really excited about because I was really wanting her. A New Hope Luke Skywalker. The Streets of Mos Eisley playset, which I think looks really cool from the pictures I've seen of it, too.
Yeah, and you can put multiples of those together.
Yeah, just like I guess you could do the hallway and stuff like that. So there's, mm-hmm. yeah. Does someone else want to do the Black Series, I guess?
Dwayne, you want to take the Black Series?
Sure. Sure. For you Black Series 6-inch collectors out there, another good group of figures being announced in the both production and pipeline, and some even available for pre-order. A STAP or STAP vehicle with a battle droid in the Episode 1 card back style, I believe, or in the box.
It's a box, the, yeah.
Yeah, the box with the window box, but in a 6-inch version. So it's kind of a throwback. Prince Sizor from the Shadows of the Empire storyline. And also, I think he's made some appearances in comic books and some of the other media since then. Clone Commander Bacala, a commando droid, which we didn't... That was from Ahsoka, wasn't it?
It's been from several different things. Okay. Clone Wars cartoon and
it's like an assassin droid, but it's kind of camouflaged or brownish, greenish looking instead of black, I think. Gaming Greats, I guess Jira. I'm not sure what game that's from.
I don't know. It's just what it said online whenever saw it. So
okay, a new version of Luke Skywalker from A New Hope, and a new version of Princess Leia from A New Hope. So if you want to upgrade or update your Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia from A New Hope, new sculpts and new figures coming for those two. And in the roleplay category, a new Mandalorian armorer helmet. So, of course, the character in the shows is female, but I'm sure that this can go either way. If some little boys want to get a Mandalorian armor roleplay helmet and become an armorer, go for it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can imagine so that in old Mandalore, they probably every village and city had an armorer. That was probably an important role. So
No doubt.
Male or female.
No doubt. No new announcements from the retro collection this month. I think that one, in my opinion, is probably on its way out. I think they're looking probably at sales for the release of the Macolite retro collection and some of the recent sales probably for also.
All you gotta do is look at Ollie's.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, Lost Ollie's seem to be a mainstay, which is probably a bad sign for retail sales.
Yeah. Epic Heroes line, which is the one that I'm trying to keep up with, and it's the quote-unquote 4-inch line. But there's very slight differences between these and the 3 3/4 inch. So they fit very easily, in my opinion, into the category of vintage style figures, vintage scale figures. So no new announcements. I caught everybody up on those last month, I think, of everything that was coming out or had come out already. So we move on to Sideshow announced that they're going to have a 6-scale figure for Grindon from A New Hope, who is the Imperial spy on Tatooine.
Yep.
And then, Brian, if you want to jump in with some General Giant and SH Figure Arts news. That'll wrap us up, I guess.
General Giant had released an announcement saying that they're going to come out with a Clone Wars Captain Rex Gallery Deluxe PVC statue. So that one looked pretty cool, although I'm not into the statues myself. And then an Obi-Wan Kenobi from Darth Vader on the... Let's see. Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Darth Vader, Virgin, on the Throne Premier Obi-Wan. Collection. Yeah. It's a 1/7 scale statue. Also from the SH Figure Arts, we got Ahsoka from the TV series, or from the Ahsoka TV series, Anakin Skywalker. And then from Revenge of the Sith, we have Yoda. From A New Hope, we have Han Solo and Chewbacca, which I think they've done those before. They might be coming back out with them since it's been a long time since they come out with those figures. Mm-hmm. So out of like the vintage collection, I know Dwayne, you collect all the vintage collection as well as I do, but Carl, do you see anything there that you might buy?
For sure the Andor. And since I started on the Acolyte, I'll have to go ahead and finish it, even though I hated the series. I'll just have to have it. I don't know if I really need another Anakin figure, and I definitely don't feel like I need another A New Hope Luke Skywalker. I think part of it will depend if I see some of them, like, on the shelves, you know, walk into Walmart and see it and think, oh, well, that is a good-looking figure. I do need it. Because...
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we're starting to get a little, you know, waves are hitting Walmart again a little bit now than, you know, we went there for a long time with not finding anything at Walmart's.
Yeah.
Unless you was looking for a Hoth Rebel Trooper.
Oh, my gosh. Our Walmart has a ton of them. What about you, David? Do you collect all the vintage collection stuff?
No. I do buy a lot of it, though. My son and I are openers, and so... you know, if what I've learned from the way the economy has been in Hasbro's business model is if you're patient, you can get a lot of this stuff on sale. And so that's what I've been doing lately. I used to pre-order everything, and I kind of felt a little burned out from that. So now I just wait. And the downside of that strategy is the TVC Darth Revan, you know, I didn't get that. And now on the secondary market, it's more than $50. Approaching 100, kind of like the original TAC one was. So I have my pre-order with Entertainment Earth, I think, but they say they're probably going to get canceled. Most folks say that. So we'll see. For all the $5 and $6 I've saved on each figure, buying them on sale or clearance or you know, secondary market at toy shops and stuff. I kind of got burned on that one, so I guess in the end it'll probably all come out even because I'll overpay by $50 to $70 for Revan for the $50 or $70 I saved on the other 10. But that's been my strategy. I saw Soul and Osha that whole wave at Target when I picked up that U-wing fighter, and I looked at them. They looked cool, but my first instinct was I'm gonna pass. I'm really glad to see them, but I'm gonna wait, and I have a feeling they'll probably go on sale.
Yeah, unfortunately, our Target close to us is still closed. They had a cave-in
mudslide.
Mudslide behind the building, and it collapsed part of their building, and they won't be open back up until November. I don't think like the Black Series stuff, I'm not going to get any of that. I don't really collect it anymore, and I know neither one of you guys do. How about you, David? Do you collect any of the Black Series stuff?
Yeah, I do. Same strategy. So my son and I, not only do we customize, but we diorama build. We've got, my wife is kind enough to let us have a couple rooms in the basement with some shelves. And so we built some pretty cool dioramas, especially interested in any kind of troopers, good or bad. We'll set up some battle scenes and cool stuff like that. But then again, finding the sales is a good, efficient way to do that.
Yeah. So okay.
That means I will miss a couple of the really hot figures, and we won't get everything. We're not completionists, but, you know, definitely, we're suckers for troopers.
Okay. none of us really collect any of the other stuff that's been listed here. Do you collect any of the other stuff either?
No.
Okay. Well, then, we'll just move on to our topic for the day, which is vintage 2-packs. And
before we go a little bit, just real quick, I know, Carl, you and Brian would want to know this. My son just walked in the room and told me that Pete Rose passed away.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
So, David, I don't know if you're a baseball fan or not, but yeah.
That's
Pete Rose.
That
wow. Must have been why my phone's blowing up.
Yeah, mine was too. So anyway, yeah, moving on to our topic for the month.
Yeah, vintage 2-packs. And we asked David to come on since he's somewhat of an expert on 2-packs. And my first question is, how did Kenner come up with this idea? At what point did they actually start selling them? Because I don't remember them.
Yeah, well, I do. And for many of your listeners, if they had a mall near them and between 1983 and 1985, they might have seen them at KB Toys. It turns out, you know, there were other stores that sold them. For example, Montgomery Ward's, Service Merchandise, and a number of small mom-and-pop stores in upstate New York and Pennsylvania. But 90% of them were sold nationwide at KB Toys. And I too remember seeing them in particular at my KB Toy. They were in a square white wire bin at the front of the store by the, you know, the mall entrance there. And they just kind of had them piled up in there. It was a value item, $1.99 for two figures. Hmm. And remember back then, figures were, you know, depending on where you bought them at, approximately $2.77 for one. So this was a good deal. So I'll tell you a little bit about, first of all, how I got into it, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what Kenner was up to.
Okay.
So as a kid, I'm 52 years old. I was born in 1972. Star Wars was the first movie I saw as a kid when I was 5 years old. My dad took my brother and I to the movie theater, and it's one of my first memories. I remember being in the theater. I remember seeing Star Wars, huge impact on my life, and of course, being a kid. My brother and I and all the neighborhood kids and friends at school, we wanted to get the figures and the vehicles. And so I collected it through all three movies, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Once we got past 1984, I was a little bit too old and too cool for Star Wars and toys. So I never collected Power of the Force, droids, or Ewoks. But I do remember seeing them in the store. I still would stop by and take a look, even though I didn't buy them. So I went on and, you know, grew up and went out into the world, and 1999, Phantom Menace came out, and all of the hoopla with that. I had a 3-year-old daughter at the time, and not only did we go see the movie, but the toys were there. And I thought, well, you know, Barbies are fun to play with, but not as much fun for me as a dad. So I told my daughter, well, we've got Padme and Anakin and R2-D2 and C-3PO and let's get some of these Naboo fighters and all the rest. And so we had a lot of time playing Star Wars along with the Barbies. And at the same time, as you know, 1999, a little bit before that, maybe it was 96 or 95, eBay came along, and I got nostalgic for the toys I had as a kid, most of which were sold off at a, you know, garage sale. My mom, and after my brother and I left the house. And so I started buying them. First, loose figures, ending with the elusive Yak Face and Blue Snaggletooth, then on to the next phase, which was let's buy the carded figures. You love that card art. Let's display those on the shelf. And then once I, you know, bought those that I had as a kid, you know, up to Return of the Jedi, the next phase was, what do I collect now? So I started getting into 3-packs. I bought a couple of those, and even back then, those were expensive. And back then, $500, $800 was a lot of money. And so my wife said, isn't there something else you could collect? Not as expensive. And I looked around, and no one else was collecting these 2-packs because they were value clearance items, and they had nothing on the back, just a plain card back. And you could find them. So I'm talking like early 2000s. You could find them for $50. They weren't really that in demand. And mind you, that was at the time you mentioned Bib Fortuna and Weequay. You could find vintage Bib Fortuna for $10. Maybe 20, right? Unless it was in pristine condition, someone might charge you 50. So it was a value item, and I had fun because the combinations almost seemed limitless, and it was something to occupy my mind, and I had a lot of fun with it. Now, even though I say $50, there were some rare figures or cool combinations where people on websites such as Rebel Scum, they might charge $300 or even $400, but that was the upper. I mean, if you were going to flea markets and toy shows, you could find them for $50, $75, and $100. So that's how I got into them. It was a niche that no one else was doing. my handle on RebelScum was Jimmy 2-Pack, but originally it had been Jimmy 3-Pack, but I had downgraded for budget reasons. So now to Kenner, like where did these come from? In listening to interviews with various Kenner employees, it turns out that in 1983, the 2-Packs were not a new idea. Throughout the whole line, the folks in Cincinnati at Kenner had thought of other ideas of how can we sell more figures to kids that already have these. So even the fancy 3-packs were designed to try to resell those same figures, but in a fancy package. One of the employees that I heard online talking about this said the idea was that it was this fancy packaging, so as like a special gift for a birthday or for a good report card, you could get these three characters, and it was like a special achievement, and it was a way to sell kids and parents the same figures again, or maybe to fill in the gaps that they're missing one, and so they'll buy two that they already had just to get them. So the 2-packs are part of that tradition of trying to get people to buy one or two figures they already had. And in the case of the 2-packs, the idea was some of the slower sellers for Return of the Jedi, they wanted to pair a slow seller such as maybe General Madine with a good seller like a Stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. And from Mom's perspective, it was also a value at $1.99. And as they sat there for a while, KB would then further discount them. They would drop them down to $1.49 and then ultimately 99 cents. So even a better value for the ones that sat around, such as Admiral Akbar and General Mayhew. And for whatever reason, Han Solo in the camouflage trench coat was also one that sat for a while.
Okay, so what, like, is there a certain number that's been put out, or do you know if there's, like you said, almost limitless numbers as to the combinations?
All right, well, I'd have to check my notes. I can't do the math freehand here, but what I could tell you is that there are 77 possible figures. I'll explain in a minute why. And so if you can have two variables, right, in one bubble, There's got to be a math equation. I would probably discount them out, but it's got to be over 1,000, right? So 77 figures, and you can combine any two of those, you're going to get a number somewhere over 1,000. I think it's above 1,000 and less than 2,000. If I had to guess, I'd say 1,264. One of your fans can do the math and let us know how close I came with my guess. There are some figures that have not appeared in a 2-pack. We don't know why. It's a mystery. But I'll back up one step and tell you where this came from. So it's 1983, and many of your listeners might recall in their childhood seeing them later in 84, 85, because these things hung around for a while. Return of the Jedi came out in May of 1983, I think. Is that right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kenner sold the figures before the movie. Because you might remember on the 65 backs, the first 65 figures, the two Ewoks are blacked out because they didn't want to spoil the movie.
Yep.
And so that reminds me that, yeah, there was a wave or two that came out before the film because kids were already hungry, having seen Empire Strikes Back a few years earlier. And so those, I imagine that those first 65 figures sold pretty well. And then when the movie came out, right, there's another burst of purchasing. And so by the time we get to the end of the summer of 1983, going into the fall, sales had slowed for Kenner. And they had plenty of these 65 backs ready to go to places like your local Kmart. But the Kmarts and Sears said, you know, we've got enough. Sales are slowing down. You hold on to those for now. We're not going to buy any more. And so in Cincinnati, in their warehouses, Kenner had a lot of overstock. They had carded figures ready to go to the retailers that were not wanted yet. So what to do about that? They had decided that they would contract with another company called CG Corporation in New York City to repackage these figures, these Return of the Jedi figures, as a 2-pack, as a double pack value that would primarily go to KB, but some of these others. And what's amazing is that the majority of these figures you'll see in a 2-pack have that were actually brand new on a 65 back, ready to go, you know, in shipping cases, but they're all ripped open and resealed into these with these new bubbles and these new cards. Now we get into a wrinkle here, an interesting little side note. your more astute listeners will notice, well, wait a minute, I've seen a B-Wing pilot in a two-pack. And you would be correct. That was one of the figures. And B-Wing pilot did not come on a 65-back. His wave was number 66 to 77-back. Those are being produced in Asia at the tail end of 1983. They would come out to retail at places like Kmart and Sears in 1984. However, they were produced. They just weren't carted and shipped yet. So, to move these General Maydeens, they went ahead and asked the factories in Asia to ship these loose figures in 55-gallon steel drums, no packaging at all. For example, you can imagine a 55-gallon drum of just B-Wing Pilot to match him up with Admiral Akbar to get rid of him. You know, mom and kid would say, oh, I already got Akbar, but he comes with this one that I want. Can I have him, Mom? And the strategy worked pretty well. So the majority, we have no idea the numbers, but the majority of figures come from 65 backs.
Okay.
And I'll tell you two little clues that are pretty cool for smoking guns. So not only some friends of mine and I, we talked to some former employees, and there's like paperwork that's out there. But what's really cool is I've acquired two packs that have the smoking gun. One has a biker scout, and in there it comes with his blaster, which is pretty rare. But what's attached to the blaster is the yellowed tape. So that's a proof positive that an employee in New York City ripped open a 65-back, took out the biker scout and put him in there, and while he was at it, ripped out the blaster with the tape. The majority of the employees, they were too rushed to deal with that. Less than 15% of all two-packs have an accessory. They were all thrown away with the packaging.
That was going to be my next question was, did they come with accessories?
Only if, you know, there's probably one employee on the line where he or she, like, that was their thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, these kids need these accessories. I'm going to take that extra 2 seconds to rip it off and throw it in there. So I have a biker scout with the blaster, with the yellow tape, you know, that long tape that you would see taped onto the side of a 65-back bubble. The other figure I have is a Klaatu. He does not come with his pike. Some of them do, some of them don't. I'm unaware of any other ones that have tape other than that one that I found. But this Klaatu had something else. He has a plastic skirt around his woolly skirt. So there's a strip of plastic that goes around and holds down his woolly skirt. And only on a 65-back will you find a Klaatu that actually has it. So they did that in the factory. Why they did, I have no idea. As they kind of kept it from getting too puffy or getting scuffed up in the bubble, who knows? However, that's another proof, smoking gun proof positive, that was taken out of a brand new 65-back, put in a tube. So only a nerd like me would notice things like that.
Do you mind telling how many you have?
Well, you know, at one point I had 162.
Wow.
And so, but there are a lot of people that are interested in two packs, and I had some student loans to pay off, and so now I'm down to 55.
Okay.
But the majority of the ones I sold to one guy. I won't say his name on the air. If you want to know, you can message me. But he now has the world's largest collection of two-packs. He has over 400.
Oh, wow. And
so some of those over 100 that I sold reside with him. That was part of the deal. I always get to go down to Dallas and visit him and see this little toy museum on his top floor, and so I can visit some of my old two-packs.
That's nice. You guys have any questions?
You have like a favorite one in your collection is what I was wondering, a combination?
Yeah, I love the screen accurate ones. The ones where, and of course, remember, this is all random. The employees, they don't know. They're just, the only rule. So, okay, the manager of CG Corporation, and he may have gotten this word from Kenner. The only rule the employees had was you cannot pack two of the same thing. Now, as a kid, it'd be cool to get two biker scouts together, but that would defeat the purpose of getting rid of these slow movers. Admiral Akbar, General Maydeen, Bib Fortuna. By the way, Admiral Akbar is the most common figure in a two-pack.
Wow.
I'll tell you something. You know, my brother and I got our mail away Admiral Akbar, you know, in the mail, in the box.
Me too.
Once you had that, I didn't really need any more. I'm not going to army build Admiral Akbar, so I think they made a mistake and overproduced him on those 65-backs. And they're like, well, put him in a two-pack, and when they see him with a Stormtrooper or Han Solo, they'll pick it up.
So when you were saying the amount that you have of 55, and then you had, you know, 100 plus, and this other collector has 500, are you talking about unique two packs, or are you talking about just as many two packs as you can find?
Yeah, unique. Okay. Those of us who collect two packs have no problem buying a duplicate. The most, so Akbar is the most common figure, but the most common combination you will find is Han Solo trench coat with Maydeen, which means they had boxes and boxes of those on 65 backs, or barrels and barrels of them as loose figures.
Yeah.
I know Maydeen was on 65 back. I'm going to guess here that Han trench coat came from the 77 back wave, so he was probably shipped in 55-gallon drums. But they had a ton of those, and it's in evidence in the sample size of what's left over. Because we have to imagine 99% of these were ripped open. No one in 1983, at the second half of 1983, or 1984 is when you would most likely have seen those at KB, and some of those hung around, even at discounted to 99 cents, they still hung around till 85. So you still might have seen them at your local KB Toys. But they must have had a ton of the Han Solo and General Maydeens, but that is the most popular one that was probably produced. And Admiral Akbar is the most common one that you would find in combination with anyone else. You can imagine the tougher ones to find, which are the ones I like the most. So Stormtrooper, Biker Scout, any kind of troopers, that's what you would want as a kid. And so no one thought that these might be collectible. Three packs look beautiful. Also, you know, the Power of the Force with the coin. There were both adults and kids who said, oh, I might not open this. This looks really pretty. This could be collectible. Probably after it became a pop sensation, you know, once the second movie, Empire Strikes Back, came out, a lot of people are like, maybe I should set some of these aside in the attic. But with two packs, no one thought that. These were clearly like discount, value pack. Some people say they're ugly, but I think they're beautiful. I'll show you a picture of one. I didn't think to bring any of mine from my collection room in the basement, but this is from a book I'll talk about. Here's what your Patreon viewers can see this.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, he's showing a two-pack with the Walrus Man and Han trench coat in it from, it says Return of the Jedi on the card.
Right, and I think they're beautiful. It's very colorful. You've got what looks to be like an orange Tatooine sun behind the two figures in this double bubble. And then you've got sort of this mustard yellow and then black and orange for Return of the Jedi with the classic, race car kind of chrome stripes around the outside. And a KB toy sticker at the top there. And so some folks said, well, that, you know, that's kind of just generic. And because of the back of it's just plain beige, just there's no color on the back at all. This is clearly intended to be, you know, this something to be open.
Yeah.
And people did that. They thought, you know, this is not going to be collectible. And all of a sudden, you find out that they're rare. And that's the thing about in the collecting world. There's two factors. There's popular, and there's rare. Boba Fett's popular. But Yak Face is, well, at least when I was trying to get a loose one, is somewhat rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The truth is, he's a pretty dumb figure. He's a pretty dumb character. Not that much more exciting than maybe Reeves. However, there's an elusiveness to him. And so collectors like me in the 90s and the 2000s who realized that, hey, there's a value here. Not only can you acquire these for cheap, but they're actually pretty rare. And my friends and I who collect these, we've kind of kept tabs. There's no way we can ever know how many survive. But I have personally in contacts with people over 20 years of collecting these, I don't think I've run across more than 2,000. So I wouldn't be surprised if the total population on planet Earth is less than 10,000 two-packs that survive. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if it was less than 5,000. Now, just because it's rare, that doesn't make it popular.
Right.
It's kind of a cool niche thing.
Just and like I think you said,
once people kind of got word, and friends of mine said, oh, you talk too much on these podcasts and telling people, but I like sharing the information and sharing the love. It's
sure.
A passion for me. And I mean, to me, the best part of the hobby is the social aspect. So
oh, yeah.
Put that out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, as some of us have talked these up, the world has realized, oh, these are rare. These are tough to get, especially some of the original 12 characters, like a Stormtrooper. That's coming off of a 65 back. You know, that in itself is a valuable carded figure, and to have it ripped open and put in a two-pack makes it even rarer, and the fact that most kids probably open it up. I have not come across, I think the population is 5. There are 5 stormtroopers that I know of in a 2-pack. So there's a little tip for your viewers. You find one at a flea market, you should buy it at whatever price it's marked. And yeah, I think that my favorites are screen accurate. So I have one with a biker scout and Han trench coat. So you can imagine, you know, when Han Solo kind of taps that guy on the shoulder and they get in that hustle. So that's cool. I would say probably one of my favorites is I've got a AT-ST pilot with the driver with Chief Chirpa. So again, Battle of Endor. Stormtrooper with Darth Vader. That's pretty cool. So any of the screen accurate. There's a guy that I know. I don't own this one, but I've been after this guy for like 9 years. He's got an R2-D2 with C-3PO.
Oh my.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I have my list. I really like to get that.
Yeah.
What,
somebody on the assembly line did that on purpose, probably.
That was definitely someone who watched the film and knew what he or she was doing.
What kind of prices did you like tell yourself, this is as much as I'm going to pay? I'm not going to pay any more than this unless there's just something really, really, you know, nice that I want to get.
Yeah, typically, you know, my max was $400. Remember, this is back in the early 2000s when prices were lower. There were a couple of rare ones I bought from a guy in Florida, and I had this is a cool combination. This is now owned by my friend in Dallas, Ben Kenobi with the Jawa. And that just says desert to Tatooine to me, you know, especially with that orange sun behind him.
Sure.
So I paid $1,000 for that one. And I think today it's good. It's definitely worth a lot more. If you follow Hake's Auctions or eBay, you will see, I think there have been some private transactions that have been pretty high. But the highest public sale on Hake's, I believe there was a Snaggletooth. You know, Red Snaggletooth is one of the original 21, therefore it's a tough one to find. I don't own one, so that'll tell you something. And that sold on Hake's for, I think, $3,650.
What came with it?
I don't recall. Probably Akbar. But they're not into Akbar. The collector who bought that, they know what I know, and now your listeners know, that Snaggletooth is darn near impossible. I know 3 of those. So Gus Lopez, one of the original collectors, who's a super collector in Seattle, he owns one. And I don't know who won the Hanks one. None of my friends. But I have another friend who won one on eBay, and that one also went into a bidding war and sold for $3,600, which clearly the buyer at Hanks knew this, right? So he knew it was worth that much or more. So that's the highest public price that I've come across, $3,600 on eBay and $3,650 on Hakes.
Now,
don't be surprised for some of your listeners, if there's something cool on Hakes, you know, right. Stormtrooper and Darth Vader, I wouldn't be shocked to see that go for like $4,000.
Sure. Sure. I was going to say, I know the, of course, the rarity in these is the packaging, really. Like you said, the figures are, most of them are dime a dozen. But the packaging, and I know in my experience, the ones that I've seen in person, and I've actually handled a couple. Somebody brought one into one of our monthly club meetings one time.
Really? I
don't
remember that.
Showing it off. Not one of the regular guys. It was just somebody that walked in and, you know, this is what I've got, you know, at my house. Anyway, the cardboard is very thin, cheap. If I remember correctly, and of course the blisters, the bubbles are very fragile. So
they're quite thin. If your listeners are familiar with the Tri-Logos, that kind of plastic, it's oversized plastic and it's quite thin. Uh-huh. That seems like the same kind of plastic they use.
Right. So I'm assuming that condition along with the scarcity plays a big factor in the value of these.
It sure does.
The ones that you're mentioning, were they graded versions?
Yeah, there are graded versions. Now, for me personally, I don't care about the condition. I get really excited about the character combination.
Right.
And as I'm telling your listeners, the first 21 figures are the toughest ones to find. So if you find R2-D2, C-3PO, Stormtrooper, you know that's tough. You should buy it. What I like about it is, much like the Tri-Logos, I've noticed the bubbles do not yellow. So Power of the Force and some of the Return of the Jedi, they've got a problem with yellowing. So However, it's very rare to find a two-pack without some sort of crushing or denting, because the plastic is so thin and the bubble is so oversized. They needed to make it oversized to accommodate Gamorrean Guard. So the figures will also move around inside that oversized bubble, switch places, go upside down, backwards, on top of each other.
Yeah.
Most, because the bubbles are relatively thin and somewhat fragile, people are afraid, you know, to try to reposition them. I've had a lot of experience. I've had friends, I'll say, if you trust me, I can fix that for you. And I just grab the top of the bubble and just mushroom it. And I'm not going to make it any worse than it is, or shake it or twist it. And I'll get those figures flipped around in 5 seconds. But I had a friend almost faint on me. I got to tear the bubble right off. But once you practice with you, there's like a divider. So the bubble actually goes into the center to try to keep those two figures separate. But it doesn't go all the way to the card, so they still move over. So you can grab into that indentation and pull it up, you know, mushroom it up a little bit, and then shake them. And then it goes back, and it will not have made the bubble any worse than it was.
So
most of them are dented, sometimes cracked, and the cards often have veining or denting because they were in those bins, you know, just rummaged around by kids. I think the highest grade is an AFA 80. And even though I don't care about the condition, other people do. And buyers will pay a premium just to say they own a two-pack that's an 80, even if it's Akbar and Bib Fortuna, which personally I find boring. I say, but it's an 80, so that's rare.
Does the R2 and C-3PO one, does it actually have the 12-back versions, or does it have the later versions, like with the, you know, scope and removable limbs?
They're the original ones,
which
is a great mystery. You would think C-3PO removable limbs, they had so many of those in baggies that they were giving them away to children's hospitals and things like that. And they're still relatively cheap on the secondary market all these years later. Not a single one's been found in a tube. They were all, you know, the ones that are the 1977 original version.
Yeah, I would have thought. And there's scope other mysteries and...
too, like a Rancor Keeper. He's never been found, or the Emperor. And again, those guys were kind of peg warmers. What happened to them? There's some theories, you know, they were both mail-aways.
They're all
in
open.
The UK. Well, in the UK, you could get yourself a Rancor Keeper, and in the United States, you could get an Emperor at about that time, 1983. And so maybe those were diverted, those promotions, and they said, we can't send you any of those, because they're right now, they're shipping out, they're hot for our you know, send in your 5 proof of purchases or 4 proof of purchases.
I never knew that the Rancor Keeper was a mail-away in the UK.
It sure was.
That's an odd one. That's probably the only mail-away one I never got.
So that's just speculation, but if you ever find a legitimately sealed Emperor or Rancor Keeper, you should also purchase that. I would love it if you'd send me a message. I probably can't afford to buy it from you, but I would love to see a picture of it. I would like to add that to my list that it exists.
Sure. You mentioned the trilogal versions, which were obviously, you know, probably distributed internationally. Are there any examples or instances where these type of two packs were manufactured by other Kenner affiliates like Meccano or some of the international or foreign manufacturers? The one in Brazil, or they were all Kenner manufactured?
Yeah, no Glass Light in Brazil, no Lily Letty in Mexico. And you would think, I mean, it worked in America, you know, value extra figures. There were many different times and places where there was a glut of too many figures produced. And so it was a great strategy, but no one else used it. It was just for a short time from about summer 1983, they probably, because they're all copyright dated 1983, so they probably, you know, churn those things out, I don't know, 2 to 4 months, send them to KB, send them to Montgomery Wards, and they may have sat through 1984 or 1985 at these retail stores, but it was one and done. They resealed these, put them in shippers, sent them out. An interesting fun fact is that a friend of mine, you know, talked to one of the managers of CG Corporation and said the deal with KB is that CG Corporation agreed to print up sheets of KB Toys labeled price stickers at $1.99. So if you worked at your local KB Toy, you would get a shipper case, not from Kenner, but from CG Corporation, with all of these two packs stacked in there, and you'd open it up and there'd be two or three label sheets of price stickers that had the logo of KB Toys, and you would just peel them off, and you know, the employee had to stick them on there. They weren't going to do that for you at KB, but they would print them up and put them in there as kind of like a bonus.
Are there any examples of shipper cases being found? Still,
I've never seen one. So again, if your listeners find one of those, I'd be keen to get my eyes on one. I was
wondering how many came in a case, you know.
Yeah, the cool thing is I've been able to find
come up to 48 in a case.
Right. We can only guess, you know, what kind of shipper cases or quantities. But I have found price tags from Lloyd's Department Store, which is in upstate New York and Pennsylvania, kind of local mom and pop shops. I have Montgomery Ward price stickers and Service Merchandise, and of course KB. Those are the only ones I know of. Those are relatively rare, and I don't think they add anything to the value except just the excitement. I do have a buddy who, that was his local store in upstate New York, was Lloyd's, and so he found one on eBay, and you know, I kind of helped coach him. He wanted to know if that was legit, and it sure enough was. And so he was happy to get it just for nostalgia's sake.
Cool. Yeah, this has been really interesting to find out a lot of this information that I never knew before. So anybody have any other questions?
Yeah, I didn't know that I thought that Kenner was always selling these things, you know, like gangbusters. But apparently there was a lull towards the end of the summer of 1983 when, you know, moms and kids had their fill, especially of Admiral Akbar and General Nadine.
Any other questions from you guys?
No, I don't think so.
All right. I guess that does it for today. Thanks, David. We appreciate you coming on and telling us all about the two packs.
Oh, it's loads of fun. I loved it. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I love hearing stories about stuff like this, about how they came about and what, I guess, what brought them on in the first place. Yeah.
I'll end with a couple of quick anecdotes about two packs I picked up. So the one I told you I liked, which was Han Solo in a trench coat with a biker scout, reminds me of the movie. I bought it from a guy on eBay for $100. And after, you know, I paid him, he sent me a message and said, you know, I really want to thank you for your business. And I have to admit, I feel a little bit guilty. He says, I picked this up for a dollar at a flea market. And I said, you know, dude, I said, don't feel bad at all. Because the truth is, I think it's probably worth $400. and you earned your $99, you know, finding it for me. And so we had a little bit of a laugh through eBay Messenger. And I had another guy. This is a friend of mine. He's out in Iowa, and he's always going to estate sales and flea markets and stuff. And he messages me, and he says, yeah, I found this one. It's Princess Leia with Wicket the Ewok. Oh, and I'm like, man. Oh, that's so cute. I got to have that. So he came out. He met me at the Kane County Toy Show. He drove out to there. We did a deal. He gave me a good deal. He said, what do you think it's worth? And this was years ago at the time. I said, it's probably market value, $800. And he's like, well, what would you pay? I said, well, not $800. I said, you know, I'd probably pay you like $500. And he says, well, could you do $550? And he's like, yeah, sure. I'll do it. So we were both happy. And the same thing. He said to me, well, I have to admit, you know, the story where this came from, someone had passed away and the kids were selling the stuff in an estate sale and contacted me and said, do you buy Star Wars figures, you know, on the card in the packaging? He said, oh, yeah, 12 backs and 21 backs and all that. And she said, well, how about $10 a piece? And he was like, heck yeah. So we bought those. And she said, well, if you like those, you know, I had thrown a few of them away.
Oh.
The ones that look like kind of, you know, clearance value pack ones. But I can pull them out of the garbage for you. And there were a couple of two packs. And she said, you could have those for a dollar each. And he said, great. So he said, you have to admit, this Princess Leia with Wicket, he said, that actually was sitting in a garbage bag, like in the trash, George Costanza style. But she reached in there and pulled it out and sold to me for a dollar. Wow. And so I said, again, I'm happy to pay the $550. I got a deal. He got a deal. And now your listeners got a couple of good stories.
Right. Yeah, I could see these being mistaken, like you said, for like a cheap dollar store type knockoff even. You know, I've seen a lot of bootlegs that the card back is just, you know, the back side of it is just plain cardboard. The only thing it's printed is the front side, but not in. That's why I was asking if there was any international or whatever like that.
And because there was not a lot of international, or there were none, right? These weren't sold internationally. Oh, the Europeans, especially the Brits, oh, they love these. So if you're ever going over to a Celebration Europe, or if you're heading out to Celebration Japan and you've got a two-pack you'd like to sell, this is your chance to get more than market value, because those guys will overpay.
And I would imagine even finding market value for some of these, you know, since they're probably not bought and sold a whole lot on eBay, maybe, that you might not, you know, say if you came up with a Luke and an Obi-Wan or something like that, you probably wouldn't find another example of that being sold anywhere.
Exactly. So. And like I said, with the Snaggletooth, you know, I'm supposedly the expert. You know, I'd spent a lot of time with this. Friends of mine asked me how much you think that one on Hanks is going to go for. And I said, well, there was one on eBay for $3,600. I'm guessing about that much. But I said, are you going to bid on it? It's like, no, I wouldn't pay more than $1,000. I'd rather have the thrill of finding it at a flea market, you know, for $50 to $100 sure. to $400 something. I'd rather just do without it. We'll let the big bucks buyers battle it out.
Yeah.
But you never can tell. And you know, maybe the next one, you, like I said, you see a Darth Vader and a Stormtrooper, I honestly couldn't tell you. I would be shocked if it sold for more than $5,000, but maybe it would. Maybe the market's dead and they're back to $400. You just can't predict it. It just takes two bidders. That's all it takes.
Yep. All right. Thanks again for coming on. We appreciate it. Love all the information. And Carl, you want to read our outro, please?
Okay. First of all, we have a Patreon, and we want to thank our Patreon members that support our podcast. And if you're interested in signing up, you can sign up at the patreon.com/thestarwarscollector. And you can find us on Facebook. We have a group as well as a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thestarwarscollectorpodcast. And you can still leave us a review on iTunes if you feel inclined, or other places you may listen to us. And we have a Discord as well. And if you need to contact us, you can email us at tswcpodcast@gmail.com.
For Ask Bo questions.
you can send in those Ask Bo questions. And we're also on X at tswcpodcast. And this month's Facebook shout-out is Braden Hall. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you next month.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, it was fun. Good night, guys.